there you go. Then there's good news.
It is time again for Donald
Trump.
Theater.
No one knows what's up or down.
Black
or white.
Legal
or
impeachable.
Everything is make believe in Donald
Trump.
Theater.
So let's
pull
the
curtain
back.
We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. We can change the focus to a soft blur.
You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into.
Logic is an enemy and truth is a menace.
Truth isn't truth.
I hear it's fake news, but maybe it is, maybe it isn't.
I think it's fake news, okay? Now, would I do that? Absolutely.
We're doing a lot of things that are very good, including waste and fraud. Tremendous waste and tremendous fraud.
The President of the United States has the authority to do what the President has the authority to do.
You will respect my authority.
Yeah, I've declared myself as king.
I learned a lot from Richard Nixon.
Well, when the president does it, that means that it is not illegal.
I cannot tell a lie. I'm sorry.
I could cause panic much better than even you. I could do much. I would make you look like a minor league player.
Oh, dead. Oh, dead. Won't you spare me over till another year? Well, what is this that I can't see with ice cold hands taking hold of me? Well, I am death, none can excel. I'll open the door to heaven or hell. Oh, death, someone would pray, could you wait to call me another day? The children prayed, the preacher preached, time and mercy is out of your reach. I'll fix your feet till you can't walk. I'll lock your jaw till you can't talk. I'll close your eyes so you can't see this very hour come and go with me. Death, I come to take the soul, leave the body and leave it cold. To drop the flesh off of the frame, the earth and worm both have a claim. Oh, death. Oh, death. Won't you spare me over till another year? My mother came to my bed, placed a cold towel upon my head. My head is warm, my feet are cold. Death is a moving upon my soul. Oh, death, how you treating me? You closed my eyes so I can't see. Well, you're hurting my body. You make me cold. You run my life right out of my soul. Oh, death, please consider my age. Please don't take me at this stage. My wealth is all at your command, if you will move your icy hands. Oh, the young, the rich or poor, all alike me, you know. No wealth, no land, no silver, no gold, nothing satisfies me but your soul. Oh, death. Oh, death. Won't you spare me over till another year? Won't you spare me over till another year? Won't you spare me over till another year?
And we begin tonight with a disturbing milestone in this coronavirus pandemic. The death toll in this country surpassing 20,000.
Do you take any responsibility for these 50,000 deaths that have happened in this country?
I think we've done a great job. Minimal numbers, we're going to be 100,000 people, and we're going to be hopefully far below that.
We've now surpassed 1 million coronavirus cases and 60,000 deaths in the span of about 2 months.
Yeah, we've lost a lot of people, but if you look at what original projections were, 2.2 million, we're probably heading to 60,000.
The COVID-19 pandemic has now claimed more than 70,000 lives in the United States.
We have met the moment, and we have prevailed. Americans do whatever it takes to find solutions, pioneer breakthroughs, and harness the energies we need to achieve a total victory.
As the president was speaking, the number of dead in the U.S. passed the 80,000 mark.
91,000 people have died in America in just a matter of months because of a pandemic that the commander-in-chief, the president of the United States, could have done something about had he acted swiftly and embraced the truth, embraced science.
There are 93,000 people that have died from the virus. Thousands more undoubtedly will follow. 36 million people are unemployed, and the unemployment rate is approaching Great Depression levels. And from the beginning, Donald Trump has floundered and shown zero leadership. Back in January, he said he trusts China on the virus and said the U.S. has it totally under control. In February, he said that within a couple of days, case numbers were going to be down close to zero. Later that same month, he said it's going to disappear. One day, like a miracle, it will disappear. Well, there have been no miracles, just mass unemployment and mass death on Donald Trump's watch. And now he's very much on the wrong side of public opinion concerning how we protect ourselves from the virus going forward. A new poll finds that 83% of Americans are concerned lifting restrictions in their area will lead to additional coronavirus infections. But the president has decided to throw in totally with a vanguard of right-wing activists and tell the American public, including people in nursing homes and immunocompromised and people over 70, that they are warriors, his words, warriors on a battlefield and need to be willing to get back out there and potentially die for the cause.
The most widely cited coronavirus model now predicts 147,000 U.S. deaths by August. That is horrible, but at least we know what the song of the summer is going to be. Keep in mind that 1 month ago, the same study predicted 60,000 deaths by early August. So they're now predicting more than twice as many fatalities, or as Trump calls it,
we have met the moment and we have prevailed.
We won, and to celebrate, I'm giving every American a big marble trophy with their name on it and the year they were born.
It's not like he doesn't know how dangerous reopening the country too quickly is. A leaked White House Coronavirus Task Force report shows infections spiking more than 1,000% in some rural areas. If those numbers sound bad, it's because they are. According to Johns Hopkins, the United States has the most confirmed cases of COVID-19 in the world.
When we have a lot of cases, I don't look at that as a bad thing. I look at that as, in a certain respect, as being a good thing, because it means our testing is much better. So if we were testing 1 million people instead of 14 million people, we would have far fewer cases, right? So I view it as a badge of honor. Really, it's a badge of honor. It's a great tribute to the testing and all of the work that a lot of professionals have done.
It's not a badge of honor. The United States of America has about 4% of the world's population, and we have almost 30% of the world's deaths. I'm not talking about how many tests are being done. I'm talking about how many body bags there are, how many families, something this president cannot acknowledge. The loss of families and friends of almost 100,000 Americans.
It's a tremendous white MAGA hat day. This is like the best day. I told you the country was going to reopen. I said it was going to reopen. And a lot of you said, no, it's going to. It's happening, okay? We are partially reopening Mar-a-Lago, my great property in Florida, thanks to the great leadership, by the way, of a very talented governor, Ron DeSantis. We love this guy. He's doing great things. And so we're reopening it partially. Whites only is going to be the partial reopen, okay? And it's okay. It's not, excuse me. No, no.
you're asking a nasty question. Racist? Is that a race? It's not a racist policy. I'm the least racist person in this room, for sure, because some of you have said some very nasty things about great blacks like Candace Owens and Angry Hootie, the sheriff from Wisconsin. That's what we call him, Angry Hootie. You've said nasty things about these great blacks just because they support me and, like, hate their own people. And that's okay. They're allowed to. It's like the N-word. Whites can't say it. But if the blacks hate each other, you can't do anything about it. It's just like, it's like the rap albums, okay? But Mar-a-Lago is open, partially, for health. We're not letting the groups that are getting, like, sicker in at first. It's a total, you say, listen to the doctors. Sir, you should listen to the listen to Fauci and Burks with their scarves. But now we're listening. And they say these communities of color, you heard this phrase? They're getting affected more, so we're asking them nicely. We're doing it very nicely. Mike, didn't I say, I said to that Mexican man to get the hell off of my Mar-a-Lago property, please. I said, please. Mike knows. I said, please. Not to you. I won't say please to you. You're nasty. But we're reopening it. Mexican and black staff can come. They have to maintain 60 feet social distancing. But that was always the policy at Mar-a-Lago. So nothing's changed there. So it's not racist. It's called a celebration. White MAGA hat. Mar-a-Lago. Partial reopen.
This week saw Congress hear testimony from Rick Bright, ousted top vaccine official turned whistleblower, who described missed opportunities such as this moment in January when a manufacturer of PPE tried to sound an alarm.
I'll never forget the emails I received from Mike Bowen and indicating that our mask supply, or N95 respirator supply, was completely decimated. And he said, we're in deep. The world is. And we need to act.
Yeah, it seems that's what congressional testimony is now. Just career public health officials saying, on the record, You know, it feels like as time goes on, we're about to find out more clear warning signs that the Trump administration just flat out ignored. I'm assuming we'll eventually learn that Trump was personally delivered a report in January titled, What to Expect When You're Expecting the Coronavirus to Kill 80,000 Americans in 4 months.
54% of Americans continue to say the U.S. government is doing a poor job preventing the spread of COVID-19, and only 36% say they consider Trump a trusted source of information about the outbreak. Wow, that is shocking. I mean, how could you not trust the guy who said heat would kill the coronavirus, that cases would go down to zero, that it would go away in April, that a vaccine would come out soon, that hydroxychloroquine could be a gift from heaven, and that it could be cured by eating Lysol wipes out of a salad bowl with a fork and a knife?
And for a little flavor, throw in some croutons and some balsamic disinfectant.
One of the most frustrating parts of this pandemic has been watching countries around the world, from Australia to Iceland to Taiwan to New Zealand, successfully suppress their outbreaks with competent leadership and slowly begin to safely reopen their economies. Meanwhile, we have a president who won't even wear a mask at a mask distribution facility while surrounded by people wearing masks. Oh, sure. When he was trying to get everyone excited about coal, he happily put on a miner's helmet. And not only have many countries suppressed their outbreaks, they've also avoided the worst-case economic scenarios. Meanwhile, here in the U.S., we now account for 30% of the world's cases, despite having less than 5% of the world's population. 36 million people are out of work. We have the highest unemployment rate since the Great Depression. And last week, the Fed reported that a staggering 40% of households making $40,000 or less lost their jobs in March. Or, as the president put it last week,
we have met the moment, and we have prevailed.
Mr. President, you said in your comments earlier, we have met the moment, we have prevailed. To you, sir, is the mission accomplished, even with 1.4 million?
No, we prevailed on testing is what I'm referring to. That was with regard to testing.
Sorry, I read that wrong. I didn't mean to say prevailed. I meant to say pre-failed. We failed before we even knew what we were failing at. That's vision.
You can't make a big statement like, we've prevailed, then say it's just on testing. It's like if George W. Bush's infamous banner had an asterisk that said, mission accomplished, specifically the mission of printing and hanging this banner. Also, we have not prevailed on testing. I mean, it's good that we're ramping up testing now, but we needed it 3 months ago. Bragging about testing now is like showing up to a house that already burnt down and offering to water the grass. Other countries are putting in place rigorous programs of testing, contact tracing, and isolating cases, and that's why they've been able to slowly reopen and avoid the worst. We've fallen behind not just countries like South Korea, Australia, and Germany, but others you might not expect.
This is what the graph looks like for the U.S. You see a sharp rise in cases. It hasn't really tapered off yet, right? It's trending down. But to put that in context, that curve you see there, here's how some other places are doing. The first group is the countries that appear to have successfully suppressed transmission of the disease. That curve has come all the way down so that they are barely registering any new cases. We have Andorra, Australia, Austria, Bhutan, Cambodia, China, Croatia, Cuba, Djibouti, Estonia, Greece, Iceland, Jamaica, Jordan, Kosovo, Latvia, Lebanon, Liechtenstein, Lithuania, Luxembourg, Malta, Mauritius, Monaco, Montenegro, New Zealand, Slovakia, Slovenia, South Korea, Taiwan, Thailand, Tunisia, and finally Vietnam.
We are back, Mr. President. I want to thank you for respecting recommended CDC guidelines and wearing a mask. Oh, that's just your face. Let's discuss the unfortunate matter at hand, the global crisis that is devastating countless American lives, wreaking economic havoc, the reason that we have all been forced to take shelter in our homes. Obamagate. What is that?
It was the greatest political crime in the history of our country.
Some of your harshest critics say that these attacks on the former president and your recent Twitter tantrums are meant to distract from your failed coronavirus response.
We're of the assumption that by the end of the year, we're going to have a vaccine.
Ooh, could you hold off on that just a little longer? It's going to take me a while to lose all the quarantine weight.
Look, the less successful we are in opening, the better they are probably, maybe, for an election. But I'm letting people know, in many cases, they're doing it just for...
A global pandemic. Sounds like some fictional Steven Soderbergh bullshit from 2011, right? Believe it or not, it's a real thing. People are suffering. Millions are out of work. The economy has evaporated. And worst of all, I haven't had a haircut in more than 2 months. So how does an unprepared reality TV host pretending to be the president deal with such an unprecedented crisis? I can tell you in one word.
This was all Obama.
Distraction. Distraction.
This was all Biden.
Distraction.
Distraction. Distraction.
And we caught them.
Distraction. La 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 la. La 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 la. How he tries to occupy your mind. To perplex you. He deflects to any shiny object he can find.
They wanted Hillary Clinton to win.
So many people fighting for their lives or scared to lose their jobs and stuck inside their houses. Thousands of people dying on your watch. And who is it you're thinking of?
Obama?
Obama, Obama.
That's the enemy of the people.
Distraction. Obama.
It is a disgrace.
Destruction!
We've done more testing than all of the countries in the world.
Anyone who wants can get a test, he shouts. A proper test, a perfect test. Where the hell are all these perfect tests, he touts. There's only one thing on his freaking mind.
Sleepy Joe Biden.
Election! Election!
I'm getting really good poll numbers.
Destruction! Deception! Deception!
Over 10 million tests.
Inaction.
They've never gotten over losing to me.
We hope that you might lead us with some dignity and tact. We thought you'd somehow grow from this, but girl, you're petty. Confusion, digression, delusion, obsession.
Make America great again, right?
Recession, election, inaction, infection,
destruction. Nancy Pelosi's a disaster.
Destruction.
Obamagate.
Hydroxychloroquine. Maybe that's a question you should ask China.
He tries his best to baffle us. He stupefies and stalls. How long till he just starts posting pictures of his balls?
Boom.
Disgusting. Disgusting.
Everybody disagreed when I did that.
Disgusting.
Look, there were a number of questions raised by the actions of the Obama administration.
Distraction.
This was all Obama.
So many people fighting for their lives, but it's great to the shops, but I'm for their house, and thousands of people dying on your watch. Now, who is it you're thinking? Girl, you want the girl's money in mind.
is a disgrace, what's happened.
Distraction!
Obamagate.
Hydroxychloroquine. It's typically used to treat malaria and lupus, and he's taking it prophylactically. The only time he's actually used a prophylactic.
And a lot of good things have come out about the hydroxy. A lot of good things have come out. I happen to be taking it. I'm taking it. Hydroxychloroquine. A couple of weeks ago, I started taking it. Because I think it's good. I've heard a lot of good stories.
Can you explain, sir, though, what is the evidence that it has a preventative effect?
Here we go. You ready? Here's my evidence. I get a lot of positive calls about it.
I'm really having a hard time wrapping my head around this and how psychotic it is. I mean, look, Trump's gonna say and do crazy. He failed on the pandemic response, and unemployment is at its highest point in 100 years. So now he's spraying ink in the water so we can dart under a rock before the press can figure out what happened.
The FDA specifically cautions against the use of hydroxychloroquine for COVID-19, in part because of side effects ranging from cardiac arrhythmias to increased risk of death. Look, I don't care how you feel politically. We have to protect the President of the United States. There's just no way to dismiss the seriousness of death.
Death is death.
I stand corrected. Now, the medical community responded to the news with a what? One clinical pharmacologist said of the president's hydroxychloroquine regimen, that seems to be a crazy thing to do.
Oh, really, doctor? Well, I'll have you know, crazy is my middle horse.
One of the reasons health professionals were especially concerned is because Trump would appear to be part of the cohort most at risk, as he has a common heart disease. Yes, he doesn't have one.
Beautiful. What a nickel.
It's empty. The tinsmith forgot to give me a heart.
No heart?
No heart. All hollow. When a man's an empty kettle, he should be on his mettle, and yet I'm torn apart. Just because I'm presuming that I could be kind of human if I only had a heart. I'd be tender, I'd be gentle, and awful sentimental regarding love and art. I'd be friends with the sparrows and the boy who shoots the arrows if I only had a heart. Picture me a balcony above a voice sings low.
Wherefore art thou, Romeo?
I hear a beat. How sweet, just to register emotion, jealousy, devotion, and really feel the part. I could stay young and chipper, and I'd lock it with a zipper, if I only had a heart.
Despite a statement by the White House doctor, some people are speculating the president might be lying.
Let me assure you, the president of the United States is not taking hydroxychloroquine.
This president doesn't tell the truth. He may be taking this, he may not.
Or option C, his doctors decided it was just easier to let him think he's taking it.
Every morning I push back Spider-Man's head and a little hydroxychloroquine comes out. Right now they're blue, but next week's prescription is orange.
But if that's true, hydroxychloroquine is just part of a long-standing policy of ingesting whatever product he endorses. It wasn't just doctors who were shocked at Trump self-medicating. We also heard from Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi.
Madam Speaker, what's your reaction to the president saying that he's now taking hydroxychloroquine? Are you concerned?
He's our president, and I would rather he not be taking something that has not been approved by the scientist, especially in his age group and in his, shall we say, weight group, what is morbidly obese, they say.
Oh, that is a very polite way to say a mean thing. I'm concerned about the president because he is, shall we say, 20 pounds of pudding in a 10-pound sack. What I'm saying is, your president is so fat that when he sits around the White House, he, and shall I put this diplomatically, sits around the White House, which is a very, very large building indeed. And it's important to point out that fat shaming is wrong. Plenty of wonderful people are old and fat and beloved, like Santa. But guess what? Santa shouldn't take hydroxychloroquine either. But if Trump really is taking hydroxychloroquine, he might not only be endangering himself, because Trump's got legions of followers eager to jump on the hydroxychloro wagon. So yesterday, Fox News' Neil Cavuto gave him this stern warning.
If you are in a risky population here and you are taking this as a preventative treatment, it will kill you. I cannot stress enough. This will kill you.
No, Neil, bad. I cannot stress this enough. Fox anchors have to back up everything Trump says or else. Now, Trump wasn't about to take this slight from Neil lying down, although he was almost certainly lying down when he retweeted half a dozen Twitter posts attacking Cavuto, calling him an idiot, foolish, gullible, and an ass. There you have it. Trying to keep elderly people alive now makes you an idiot in Trump's book. Trump is still trying to find someone he can blame his poor response to the pandemic on. So far, he's narrowed it down to China, Obama, and anyone not named Donald Trump. I know, I'll blame it on the dog. What do you mean I don't have a dog? Then who pooped on the rug? Last night, Trump lashed out at one of his favorite blame targets, threatening in a letter to the Director General of the World Health Organization that he would permanently end all funding to the organization if it did not commit to substantive improvements. No surprise there. The WHO combines everything Trump hates: the world, health, and organization. Trump's real target is China and their handling of the coronavirus. That's why his letter includes this little tidbit.
On January 28th, 2020, after meeting with President Xi in Beijing, you praised the Chinese government for its transparency with respect to coronavirus.
Yeah, and I seem to remember one member of the WHO on January 24th really going over the top with their praise of China.
China has been working very hard to contain the coronavirus. The United States greatly appreciates their efforts and transparency. It will all work out well. In particular, on behalf of the American people, I want to thank President Xi.
Well, that tweet hasn't aged very well. Trump feels the WHO is too close to China, so he's cutting off their funding. China had another idea, because also yesterday, President Xi Jinping offered to provide $2 billion in the fight against the pandemic and called on other nations to increase their contributions to the WHO. Take that, China! Trump just made you the world leader in fighting this pandemic. He's got you right where you want you.
Preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.